few weeks ago, when Paul was doing Bible study on Noah, he talked about this first verse. He read this verse. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And so as I read that, I started to, it hit me, what does it mean to walk with God? And we discussed walking with God for a little bit. But as I was there, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to really contemplate and to meditate on what it means to walk with the Lord. And so, what does it mean for me to walk with God? If Noah could walk with God, I want to walk with God. And there's a lot of people in the Bible who walked with God. So, have you ever really thought about what it means for you to walk with God? I mean, really thought about it. And what does that mean to you? Start thinking about that as we start. About your own life, about your journey, your pilgrimage, your special, your personal walk with God. And what we're going to, that's what we're going to look at today. But I want to pray first that the Holy Spirit will show us what it means to walk with God. So Father, we just pray that you reveal yourself to us through your word, that you will show us what it means to walk with you. And Lord, where you want us to walk closer, I pray that you just point that out to each of us individually today. Lord, we long, each of our hearts long to walk with you. So teach us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start by taking a quick journey through the word of God. I started doing this a few weeks ago, and I got over 100 verses about walking with God, and I didn't even touch the surface. I wouldn't be surprised if every book of the Bible mentions walking with God. I can't prove that, but there's so many verses about walking with God, and there's also verses about walking in darkness. That could be a different study. We're not going to go into that. But we're going to look at a few of the people, first of all, that that it says specifically walked with God. And so we're going to go, we'll start with Enoch. And a lot of you have heard of Enoch. Enoch is mentioned in Genesis, not very often, but it's very interesting, the piece about him. It says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now it's interesting because Noah knew Enoch because Enoch was alive for quite a while. Enoch was his great-grandfather. But we want to look at not only who did it, but what did they do. We don't know a lot about Enoch, but we know that he must have pleased God. Because Enoch, and does anyone know the other person that was translated out that never died? Elijah. Yeah, there's only two that mention. And so he was a pretty special guy. And so that's Enoch. And so we're moving on, and we'll go back to Noah. Sorry. He was a just man. So we can learn from Noah that he was just. And as I was reading this, I was like, okay, what did these people who walk with God, what does it say about them? So Noah was just. And he also was perfect in his generations. Now, that's an interesting word right there, because perfect actually means complete, whole, balanced, or well-rounded, or sound. It doesn't mean that Noah was perfect. But so we want to be balanced and whole in the Lord. The next one is Abraham. It's talking about Abram. When he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. So there's another word we can see as we walk. We want to be blameless before the Lord, there's nothing he can count against us in our lives. Then we go to Malachi. And in Malachi, this is talking about Levi. And there's a lot in this one. It says, then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. So this is a study all on its own, but if we quickly break it down, he made a covenant with the Lord. He lived a life of peace. That God gave it to him, that he feared the Lord. We'll talk a little about fearing the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is not, oh my goodness, what's he going to do to me? It's a reverence of wanting to please him, knowing who he is, knowing that he's the creator of the universe, and that he is to be reverend, not to be feared, in the sense that we often think of fear. The truth was in his mouth. Okay, so if the truth was in the mouth, that means he's reading the word of God. And injustice was not found on his lips. He was fair to those that he was with. And he walked in peace and equity. And then I like this last part. He turned many away from iniquity. Okay, we're called to do that too in our walk, to help those that we see that are in sin. And we're to help them. If we see a brother or a sister in sin, you know, who else is going to help them out of it but the loving brother or sister? And I know that's tough sometimes. That's part of our walk, is helping somebody when they're in it. All right. Next, we're going to look at Hezekiah. And he says, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." So Hezekiah, he walked in the truth. Once again, in the word of God. He had a loyal heart. He didn't turn from the Lord. And he did what was good in the Lord's sight. And again, we learn what's good in the Lord's sight by reading his word. Then, onto the New Testament, and here's a woman and a man. Zacharias and Elizabeth. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah," and remember, they are the ones that were waiting to see Jesus before they would die. And in the Zacharias was a Jewish priest in the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before the Lord, walking in all his commandments and the ordinance of the Lord blameless. So there it is again, walking in his word, walking in his ways, in his laws, and being blameless. So the Bible is filled with a whole bunch of great people. Adam, Hannah, Jacob, Moses, Deborah, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and then John, Mary, Paul, Peter, and then there's a whole bunch of small unknowns like Lydia and Apollos, and that's just a teeny sampling of people in the Bible that walk with God. And so, but if you think about each of those people and the other ones that have probably come to your mind, you think that though they were in the Bible, they all had different walks. They really did. It looks different for each of them. And so it follows that we will also have different walks than them and different walks than each other, right? So keep that in mind as we continue on. Now I want to define what walking is. So what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about walking? Is it going on a walk with your wife, hand in hand? Is it going on a walk with your children and just hanging out? Is it maybe going on a brisk walk to get exercise with somebody else, maybe a friend, where you're have a purpose in it, but you're also together? Or you're walking, sometimes you go on just a prayer walk or a walk to get away. Another reason for walking is just to get somewhere, right? And so the definition of walk is to go somewhere on foot. It's very simple. Or to travel by the use of your feet. So that's basically what walking means in its pure sense. But then, what does it mean to add that to walking with God? The word walk has two connotations in the Bible. It's a manner of habit in life. So something that you make a habit that you in your life. Or a constant moving toward an end. And the constant moving toward an end in this case is the end being a relationship with God. So figuratively it means to walk with God toward the desired end that he has for us. Or to live and act and behave and pursue a biblical and Christ-like course of our life. So that's what walking with God means, the word walk in the Bible. We're going to go through some more scriptures now that mention walking with God and give us more direction personally. So we'll start in Deuteronomy, where Moses warns the people. And he says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So he's talking about a false prophet here. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So this has an interesting piece in it that talks about testing. And a lot of us don't like the fact that God tests us. We don't like to think that he does, but he is God and he has the right to test us. Whether we say you can't do that or not, he will do it. And that's part of his character, is to test us on this earth. And what does testing do? It sees if we know it. See, and it helps. And it, so if you test your children in something, you're seeing if they have picked up what you are teaching them. And so God tests us a lot to see if we're going to be like him. So it says here, test whether we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. And that we walk after the Lord and fear him. There's fear once again. Keeping his commandments again. Doing his law. And then there's another piece in here that I want to look at. It's obeying his voice. Now, as all you know, that I'm very much into the Holy Spirit. I love that piece of the Trinity. And I think that we all, you know, need to know, to believe and hear the voice of God. I mean, it all has to line up with Scripture, right? And it all, and we can pray, but we can also hear him. I believe that there's like a constant conversation going on that we can plug into if we want to, which is the Holy Spirit, that we can hear of the Lord. And, you know, pray without ceasing and be with God constantly in love. And that, I believe, is the Holy Spirit, and he offers that to us. But I think a lot of the time, we just choose not to tune in to hear and to ask him. And sometimes when we try to and we don't, we get frustrated and we say, well, that must not be real. But we must work at it. We must practice it. So he says, obey his voice when we hear it, and serve him and hold fast to him. And another piece of our walk with God is serving. Serving him is what Jesus called, what we did last week is an example of it when we washed feet. Jesus came and he said, I have not come to be a king, I've come to serve you. Now you do that. And so in our lives, you know, that's one of the hardest things I do in my walk is serve. You know, some people like Christy and Chris, they have hearts to serve. My heart is, that's a challenge for me, is to serve. Ask my wife. But I'm trying. And so we all need to try to serve God. So let's go on to Micah now. And we've all heard this one. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So we have justice. We treat others correctly. And we have mercy for those that, a lot of times God will walk us through something that is hard so we can have the mercy and understanding of somebody who's going through it. So, you know, a lot of times we're upset about the trial we've been through, but then if you see somebody else in that same trial, hopefully you'll take advantage of that time to help them walk through it. And then to walk humbly with God. This is another thing I'm not very good at, which is being humble and walking before God. So that's another piece of what it means to walk with God. And Moses says again to Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is basically all repetitive of what we've talked about. But what does it mean to walk in all his way? Sometimes we want to walk in some of his ways that work well for us. But we need to walk in all his ways. And then in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Now I take this as going to the house of the Lord, going to church, going to be amongst believers. So to draw near and to hear the word of God, and instead of being a fool. Then Leviticus talks about, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So this is kind of a give and take verse that says if we do something, he will do it. And that sounds like works, but I think there's a lot of that in this life that he does require of us and ask of us to keep his statutes, to keep his commands and perform them. And I believe that he draws near to us when we do that, and when we choose to say and turn our back on him, he's still here, but he withdraws to the point that we say no, and then so we have when we walk, we have our own side of it. We must draw near to God, and we must say yes and keep his things. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. Okay, Psalm 1:1, so you know this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. So this is a warning to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or to stand in the path of sinners. So if you struggle with something, then you shouldn't go there. You know, a perfect example is a bar. If you struggle with drinking, you probably shouldn't end up going to a bar. If you have gossipy friends, then you might not want to go there and be part of it. If it's hard for you to withstand the gossip, you know, this is very different from going to be with sinners and the ungodly, like Josh does, with the purpose of evangelizing them, with the purpose of sharing the Lord. That is very different. I still don't think you should go to a bar just so you can evangelize people, but I've heard of a person that, yeah, they're probably not in the place to hear you. But it does say that we delight in the Lord and we meditate on his law day and night. So that's the other side of it. That's the biggest thing that we can do, I think, to know the Lord and to increase in our walk is to study his word, to meditate on it day and night. If you want to grow, and you've heard me say this before probably too, is I think the word of God is like magic. It is alive and breathing, and it has the power to change us. And unlike, we can talk all we want about things to each other, but the two things that really can change us are reading the word and prayer. Those are the two things that that the Spirit can use to change us from inside. And it's Holy Spirit. But again, if you're frustrated with your walk with God, read the Bible. And if you're frustrated with reading the Bible, read it some more. And read it some more. And read it some more until he breaks through to that. Because I guarantee you, there's times when I don't like reading, I get up, and I'll read, and it won't be for a chapter maybe before, and then it hits. And then it's like sweet communion with the Lord. I don't know if you've had that happen. Sometimes you start reading and he speaks to you right then. But sometimes it takes a while. But don't give up. Meditate on it day and night. Now, when Paul is talking to the Ephesians, he's as a prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now it talks about a calling. I came to know the Lord when I was 9, and I definitely had a calling at that point, and it's the calling that we all have. And that is to pursue the things of the Lord, is to do the Great Commission, and it is to learn about his word. Okay, there's a lot of little things in that, in our calling. You might not have a specific calling for ministry. That's okay, like a specific like pastoralship ministry thing. That's different. But you might have callings at times to walk with a certain person. It might be a person you really don't want to walk with. But God's called you to do this at this point of your life. And so you have to, you know, walking with God is like we're talking about, walking side by side and doing what he asks you to do. And so in my own case, you know, I never had a calling in my life for ministry. And then at 43, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he gives me a calling. And I'm trying my best to follow and be worthy of that calling to which I was called. But you can't look at this and go, well, okay, well, I wasn't called to the pastorate, so this verse doesn't apply to me. It does. It, you know, and part of our walk should be seeking, Lord, what are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do in my life? Who do you want me to spend time with? What do my children need? That's a prayer I've been praying lately, is Lord, show me what they need today. Just show me today what my kids need, whether it's a hug, whether it's a challenge, whatever it is. Ask him. And then he goes on to say to the Ephesians, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So there, that's basically all we really need to hear today is walk in love as Christ has loved us and he's given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to our God as a sweet smell, for a sweet smelling aroma. So if, you know, from the time I was saved, I've believed that if I could just understand exactly what God did for me, everything would, as far as evangelism, everything that in my life would take care of itself. And when I get to those points where I'm really close to the Lord, it just flows out of me. It's like he just, you know, when I get so filled that he just overflows, that's where I want to be. And so his love is what motivates us to do things, not guilt. That does not come from the Lord, but his love. And then Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Does anyone know what circumspectly means? Or I have a guess? I didn't either before I read it, so don't feel bad. But circumspectly means to walk, watching all around you, and to walk carefully and with caution to see what's going on around you. It's not just to walk through life, you know, with our head in the clouds, but it's to walk around and to be cautious of what evil lurks around us. But I also think it's also walking around to see what is needed around us. But a fool, he just walks through life. And we don't want to walk through life as a fool. Okay, in Romans 6:4, it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. Okay, do we walk in newness of life? Do you walk like somebody would want to walk like you? Do you walk in your life where people would say, man, I want to... What does that guy have? What does Ralph have that makes him always have a smile? What makes Ralph always joyful? Okay? It's because he has newness of life. Do you feel that newness of life, or do you walk around? And sometimes I feel this way, that the best way to relate to my coworkers that aren't believers is to be kind of where they are. Because they don't want to be around this like really happy guy. Well, that's not true. You know, be happy around those people that are down. It's hard. It's harder. It's a lot easy to be with that. But if you do, you'll find eventually that it gets kind of contagious and they start to want to emulate that. And then, hopefully, by God's grace, they'll start asking you, why do you have such a happy heart all the time? Why are you always just so cheerful? And, you know, walk in that newness of life. Because hopefully we understand what he's done for us. And then it says, walk by faith, not by sight. That's another one that's hard sometimes. Because wouldn't we all just love for our lives to be shown before us how to do it? In this particular case, or in a particular case that we're walking through, wouldn't we love him to say, okay, next do this, and next do that? Well, that would be sight. He tells us what to do. Walking by faith is, he says, go do this, and you just walk. If you saw Pilgrim, I love the scene where the lions are he's told, you will see lions, but they won't hurt you if you stay to the center path. They cannot reach you. And so Pilgrim had to walk, and, you know, they did it really well. It was pretty scary. These lions, you know, and what he sees are lions. And what we see a lot of times is brings up fear within us. But if we walk by faith, then just like Pilgrim did, he walked right through the lions and straight up and through it. Like the Lord said he would, but he didn't see it. He had to take that step of faith. Then in Galatians, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, that's a great one for fighting the lust of the flesh. If my eye gate causes me to stumble, and I can remember this, and I'm walking in the Spirit, I'll say, Lord, Jesus, turn my eyes from that. Give me eyes only for the wife of my youth. Anything that you can do to just automatically have a conversation with the Spirit and the Lord to say, this is, and denounce Satan in the name of Jesus. Tell him to go back to hell where he belongs. Whatever is your way, but if you are walking in the Spirit, you're ready to go against the lusts of the flesh. And it's not only, you know, sexual lusts. If you love money and you see something and you're like, oh, I want to go do that. And you're like, no, Lord, we have a covenant that I will stay with you or whatever. Just, you know, our focus, if it's there, won't be, is that's how to attack the lusts of the flesh. And then the last one we'll look at here is that was the last one we're going to look at right there. So I chose these scriptures because it's good to see what it looked like for the people in the Bible, so we can get an idea of what it'll look like for us. Okay, and but remember, every one of us has a unique walk. It's not going to be exactly like any of those people in the Bible. So I'm going to talk a little about my walk right now. And the older I get and the further down the path I go, it's clear to me that the reason I stay on the path or have any success of walking on the path is Jesus, and it's not me. But again, I have to say yes to him. I have to agree. I have to walk with him. But it is not me that's doing it. It is him. And hopefully today, if anything the Holy Spirit's talking to you about, that you'll say yes to in this message or whatever God's doing in your lives, that you will, one, acknowledge that it's him that's doing it, but also that you'll say yes to the hard thing that he's asking you to walk through, or just to stay on the path, just to stay true to him. But remember, he does it all. We press into him, but he does it. So I started, like I said, my walk at 9 years old. And during that, for the next 11 years, I got really close to the Lord, and I strayed really far from the Lord. I had one foot in the world and one foot in the Word. But when I got to age 21, that's when God got a hold of me and took basically everything away, and I came to the end of myself for a short little period. But I came to the end of myself, and I was desperate. And He took me there, praise Him. And I said, okay, at this point, it was my come to the end of myself moment. And then from that point on, I was sold out to the Lord. And I said, I will pursue you over anything else. And so from that point on, from 21 till now, I met my wife, and we're on our 20th year. And we have had a walk in our marriage. And we have, believe me, we have had some rocky times that we have walked through. And we've had some wonderful times that we've walked through. And most of the rocky times, I believe, you can ask Julie, are my fault. But overall, we've had a wonderful marriage, and we will until death do us part or Christ comes back. And we also have, in that time, he's given us 6 wonderful kids, and we pray that he brings us more. And what a blessing children are. And they're a huge blessing, but a huge challenge as well. And I'm going to talk to mothers in a little bit, and we'll talk about the challenge of children. I've changed careers four times in my life, and now tomorrow, actually, I'm going to restart one that I've done before and go back to construction, actually working construction. And I've made a lot of money at times, and I've lost a lot of money at times. And I've had a financial journey that I would love to redo. And and Julie's shaking her head, yes, we would. And so, but praise God for that journey. And praise God that He's a God of redemption, amen? Because I've done some really dumb things, and then God got a hold of me about 7 years ago, and we've been digging out of a hole ever since, but we're close. And he's good. There's never a time when you can't turn and do His way. And there's nothing you can do that He won't say, it's okay, come to me, I forgive you, now let's walk into it. Amen. And so I've had a lot of financial journeys. I was sued in 2012 for over $100,000 in my business. And a few of you have walked that through with me when we were a Good Shepherd. And that was, as crazy as it sounds, probably one of the best years of my life because of what I learned about the Lord. During that time, every single promise in His Word became true to me. And so before I took the promises that I liked. But at that time, I said, okay, He challenged me to say, do you believe everything in my word? And it wasn't like an instant turnaround. It was 12 months of not knowing where this all was going to end up. So it was daily following Him and walking with Him in learning His promises are true. So it's not like I want to do that again, but it was a good year looking back. So then 2 years ago, God picked me up from my comfortable life here in Colorado, and He tricked us into thinking that we were going to Texas for a job. And He threw us into the arms of some amazing people, some amazing men and some amazing families that helped us and trained us, discipled us, and finally ordained us, as weird as that is to me. I never dreamed I would be ordained or be a pastor all growing up. I wanted to work as a church leader, help out, but I didn't ever think I was to be a pastor. I thought it was just, you know, the Lord says we should strive to teach, and that's what I wanted to do, but I didn't think He would have that for me. But I do say this not to pump myself up, but I was obedient, and I did go where He wanted me to go. And so, as crazy as it was, and most people that knew us thought we were nuts, and so did we, and so did my wife, but it was an exciting journey. But then we get down there, and He's ordaining us, and He's discipling us, and we are loving it. We're like, I'm meeting with Little Bear and Al every week, and they're pouring into my life. And then we get this call to walk back to Colorado now. And we're like, no, we don't want to go back now. But it was an urgency to come back here. So 8 months ago, we came back, and we started. Oh, before that, though, he raised up Joseph and Stacy to come. And that was one of the signs that we were like, okay, if you want us to go back, you're going to have a preaching pastor, because this is not my gig right here. And so we're like, okay, until that happens, we're good. We're good to stay here. And then all of a sudden He brings Joseph, and we're like, okay, we don't have that excuse anymore. And we marked off all the excuses we could. I mean, He just took care of them all, and then He led us back here. And so we're back here, happy to be here, don't get me wrong, because we know we are walking in the will of God. And it's not easy. And if you're walking in the will of God, it will not be easy. If it's easy, you're probably not in the will of God. We praise God, but every day from 9 years old until now at 44, the details in my life are being worked out. That is my walk, and I just told you some of the highlights of my walk, and a couple lowlights. But my walk has been probably 10% on a mountaintop, on a high. It's probably been 15% down in the deep valleys, and then 75% of that time it's just been in between. It's been the day-to-day walk. It's where life goes on. It's the place where mostly we live. And we try to fight the good fight, and we try to keep to the narrow road. And it's also part of the Bible that we don't see much. We don't see the average of day of anyone in the Bible, if you notice that. It's really, in the Bible, it's also the highlights and the lowlights of men and women that are mentioned. So if you think about it, when we what do we hear about in Scripture? Do we hear about all the Christians in the Bible? No. I mean, I just thought of the 72 that were sent out two by two. We didn't hear anything about them except that they were there. The multitudes that would come, that were added to the number daily in Acts, we don't hear about any of them. And then how about the disciples? Okay, wouldn't you love to know more about Andrew? And who was Bartholomew? Okay, we don't know anything about Bartholomew. And then Thomas, I mean, I feel sorry for that guy because two or three things he said got recorded. And believe me, I've said things that I've doubted. And if I was, you know, if God chose to use those and write them down, I bet he was a fantastic guy. I bet he was, you know, there's so many neat things, I bet, that, about Thomas. Because I don't think God chose, or Jesus chose, anybody. I mean, they certainly had faults, but I think he chose pretty amazing guys and developed pretty amazing traits in each of them as he walked with them. But we don't hear anything about those guys. And we hear a lot about men and women and all the men and women of the Old Testament time that followed God. No, we don't. And even the one we hear the most about, which is Jesus, we really don't hear. We hear mostly the highlights again and what he wants us to hear. But if we look in John 21:25, it says that, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And so we don't hear near as much about Jesus either that we could. So again, we're reading mostly highlights and lowlights about him. And now I'm not saying that the Word of God is incomplete. We must trust that it has enough direction for us, and we must read it for direction all the time and trust the Holy Spirit to take it from there. But what I am saying, and this is the conclusion that I came to in this as I was walking, as I was studying my walk with God, and what I want you to take from this is that each walk is unique and different and very special. It's also very complex, and it's also very simple. The simple piece of it is that we strive to walk with Jesus every day until we die, and that he is the one that helps us do it. That's it simply. But the complex thing is when you get to the everyday part of our lives. But we have to keep keeping on. And I want to encourage you to keep keeping on. And rely on him to help you get through. And rely on each other. Rely on the church. Rely on your spouse, your friends. You know, lean on people when you need it. But most of all, through him. And that the everyday part is where you will spend most of your time. And that, so, you know, don't get down. You know, don't get... Don't throw it all in when you're really down, and don't expect to stay up here. Most of it's here. We don't get to see that in the Word, but that is where we are most of the time. So be encouraged. And what can you do then? You know, read God's Word, pray, be in conversation with the Holy Spirit like we talked about, and be in the company of his saints. But don't get discouraged when you're not way up here and you're not down here. Your walk, and like Joseph talked about last week, or Stacy, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so that's, you know, that is what we have. That is what our walk is like and what it should look like. And that's what I took from that. Now I want to talk to moms about your walk. And what does it mean for moms to walk with God? And so, I know that like we have seen in the scripture today, that everyone's walk is different. There is not one walk that looks exactly the same. And that's how God planned it. So first of all, be okay with that. Be okay that your walk is different. Pursue the Lord the way he wants you to. Only you know how that is. No one else can tell you, moms, how to walk your walk. Hopefully you can get some new ideas here and you know, throughout your life, you will get new ideas how to walk with him. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one that should convict you of what you need and his word. So read it and make time for that. Because I know, moms, if you're like my wife, you are so busy. But make time for that word. One thing that is cool is most people in our culture choose not to have kids at all, or they limit the amount, and they certainly don't homeschool. And so you moms that are here, this walk he has led you on is very hard. And I know that. And it is constant. And there are no breaks for you. So please know that I agree with you that it is hard. But God knows it too. And he never gives us anything that we cannot handle. So he does not give you, moms, when you feel like you're end, he's given you, he still hasn't given you as much as you can't handle. So walk on in regard, in that regard, and holding on to ever so close to God for his help. And also you have an amazing amount of pressure on you. And if you're like Julie, and like I assume most women, you want to really look good. You want to have a family and children that shine for Jesus. And you want your kids to be the best. And that's great goals. Those are wonderful. And one thing I think is interesting, if you are going to the homeschool conference next month, you'll see many families there that stick out and really look good. And there's always a hard element in the conference for women seeing other older kids worrying about how your children measure up. It can even happen at church. And I hope it's not here. It doesn't happen here. But, you know, you'll look around and you'll see, oh, I really like that about that child. Or that they look like they have it all together. And their kids are all doing so many good things. And you compare yourself to other families. But don't. But that concern is normal. But don't get wrapped up in those thoughts. He wants your peace and sanity first. He wants your heart first, not at the expense of perfect kids, not at the expense of literary geniuses, not at the expense of worry. The worry you put yourselves through about whether or not they will turn out smart or not, whether they will have good jobs or not, whether your girls will attract the right man or not, and then be good wives and mothers, or whether or not your son or your sons will marry the most wonderful lady, that they will be the best provider with the best job. And then you worry about, will they want to homeschool themselves? And then most importantly, will they have lots of grandkids for you? And actually, that's one I think might be okay to worry about. But those thoughts can consume you. Jesus wants to consume your thoughts. He wants you to walk with him. That's all. Spend time with him. He's holding out his hand to you to walk with him. He's not yelling orders to you to hurry and get it right. He wants you to walk this road with him, and he will gently lead you. Only Christ can give you what you want and truly need. So let him today. Let him walk with you. Give him everything. Start there and know how happy he is with you. That's another thing, is I think that a lot of times you mothers think, if I can just get to this point, God will be happy with me. If they can make it look like this. You need to stop right there and say he is, and know that he is happy with you. He loves your effort. Your hearts are right. You are pursuing the things of God. Don't question that. You're at home. You're teaching your children character. You are not pursuing a career outside of your home while you're raising your kids. You are loving, serving, and respecting your husbands. That firm conviction you hold to pleases him. But don't do it all and neglect him. It's good to strive after those things, but don't gain the whole world and miss out on Jesus as you're pursuing your family. So walk with Jesus. Let's all walk with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there are so many facets to walking with you. And Lord, sometimes we're up high, sometimes we're down low. Sometimes we're walking with others, sometimes we're walking alone. Lord, sometimes we're hurt, sometimes we're happy. Lord, everything goes this walk. From our second birth to death with you. And Lord, you will even walk, you say, through the valley of the shadow of death with us. And so, Lord, help us to stay on the narrow path with you and to walk with you and to trust you to lead us and to, Lord, I pray this week we can really look at what it means in our particular lives to walk with you. Show everyone here, Lord, what you want them to do, where you want them to walk, how you want them to walk. If changes are needed and they know it, Lord, and we know, we all know that feeling that we might be avoiding, help us to say enough's enough. I will walk with you through that, or I will stop that, or I will start that, this. Lord, whatever it is, the next step to walk. Let us all know that you are walking with us step by step. You're holding our hands, and that it is a long grind. And you know that. But the reward is so great. And it is not about this life. It's a tryout for heaven. So help us to do that well. We love you, but we can't do it on our own, Lord. We need your strength to do it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.